just so many ways for a gal to be a bitch. But what if I told you that 800 years ago, the word bitch had nothing to do with women, or canines for that matter? What if I told you that before modern English existed, an early version of the word bitch was actually just another word for genitalia, anyone's genitalia, and that only after a long and colorful evolution did it come to describe a female beast, naturally leading to its current meaning, a bossy, evil, no-fun lady? What if I told you that this process of a totally neutral or even positive word devolving into some insult for women happens in the English language all the time? What if I told you that swimming under the surface of almost every word we say, there is a rich, glamorous, sometimes violent history infinitely more dramatic than any Disney movie or CNN debate? What if I told you that without even realizing it, language is impacting all of our lives in an astonishing, filthy, and fascinating way? Cozy up, dear listener, because this is a book about the psychedelic universe that exists behind the English language. Words are something so many of us take for granted, which of course makes perfect sense. We start learning language straight out of the womb. Truly, at 6 weeks old, we're already experimenting with vowel sounds. And from then on, we come to wield it so naturally that we never really consider why it works the way it does. Growing up, I had no idea that there was a whole academic field to examining every infinitesimal detail of how language operates, from what your tongue is doing when you make an R sound to why Americans love British accents so much. This, by the way, has to do with a fetish for the exotic, plus a set of mommy issues that colonial countries tend to have with their motherlands. Hypothetically, if Martians established colonies on Venus, you can almost guarantee that Venusians would find a Mars accent super sexy. But every part of our speech, our words, our intonation, our sentence structures, is sending invisible signals telling other people who we are, how to treat us. In the wrong hands, speech can be used as a weapon, but in the right ones, it can change the world. That may sound melodramatic, though I promise it isn't. Take it from a language scholar at the University of California, Santa Barbara, named Lal Zimin, who told me that one of our culture's biggest obstacles is the idea that language doesn't matter the way that other, more tangible forms of freedom and oppression do. It's that old mythology that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. Getting people to understand that language itself is a means through which people can be harmed, elevated, or valued is really important, Zimin says. Zimin, like most of the other word whizzes I talked to for this book, is a linguist, a profession that, despite common misconceptions, has nothing to do with learning to speak dozens of foreign languages or correcting people's split infinitives. Linguistics is, in fact, the scientific study of how language works in the real world. Under that umbrella falls sociolinguistics, where the studies of language and human sociology intersect. It actually wasn't that long ago, around the 1970s, when linguists first began studying how human beings use language as a social tool to do things like create solidarity, form relationships, and assert authority. Out of everything they investigated, the most eye-opening and contentious subject has undoubtedly been language and gender. That is, how people use language to express gender, how gender impacts how a person talks, and how their speech is perceived. Over the decades, linguists have learned that pretty much every corner of language is touched by gender, from the most microscopic units of sound to the broadest categories of conversation. And because gender is directly linked to power in so many cultures, necessarily, so is language. It's just that most of us can't see it. Speaking of power, you may or may not have heard of a little thing called patriarchy, a societal structure in which men are the central figures. Human societies haven't always been patriarchal. Scholars believe man's rule began somewhere around 4000 BCE. Homo sapiens have been around for 200,000 years in all, for context. When people talk about smashing the patriarchy, they're talking about challenging this oppressive system, linguistically and otherwise, which is relevant to us, because in Western culture, patriarchy has overstayed its welcome. It's high time the subject of gender in words makes its way beyond academia and into the rest of our everyday conversations. Because 21st century America finds itself in a unique and turbulent place for language. Every day, people are becoming freer than ever to express gender identities and sexualities of all stripes, and